Welcome back to The Exchange. I'm your host, Stephanie Joyce, and here in the studio with me this morning is Unalaska Mayor Shirley Marquardt. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for asking me. Good morning.
And before we jump into our conversation, let me just remind folks that they can call in with their questions at any time. The number is 581-2161. All right. So, Mayor Marquardt, we're going to talk this morning about the legislative lobbying trip that's coming up. You guys are heading down to Juneau in just a few days. Can you tell me what is the legislative lobbying trip and why you go, just for folks out there who need a little refresher?
I can. The legislative lobbying trip to Juneau, as well as the one to D.C. that the council, mayor and council take every year, is designed simply to get our challenges and our projects across to legislators who are not familiar with them, like our representative, Bryce Edgman, and Senator Hoffman are. You know, they get a big list of projects in the capital budget, and they'll just look at the list and, you know, a committee will tell them, hey, you need to cut some of these. This is too much. Or the governor will say you have to shave it back. And they're just there. There's just a list of names and projects. So when you go down there and just quite simply face to face, sit down with the legislator and explain to them why you're there in this position in the first place, what this project is about, what the community is doing to try and solve it, you know, what plan we've come up with. And that's really key. You don't go to the legislator, people who go to the legislature and say, hey, solve this for us, you know, and give us some money for it, are not successful. So we come in and with our plan and explain it. They can ask you questions face to face instead of just getting peripheral information from staffers who haven't talked to us either. And it just makes a huge, huge difference when they're clear on the project.
And so what are some of the big projects that Unalaska is hoping to get through the legislature this year?
Well, we want the second piece of the funding for the wastewater treatment plant. A year ago when we were there, we let everyone know that we were asking for a pretty big chunk. We needed $8 million to keep the operating construction costs as controlled as possible, so we didn't have to raise the rates even more than we're already going to have to raise them. And we were successful getting $4 million last year from the governor's office, and the legislature approved that as well. And this year, we've got $3.1 million so far in the governor's capital budget, which still has to go through, you know, committee and through the legislature. They're still going to do all sorts of things with that capital budget that the governor might not like. And so there's still projects that are going to be dropping off and coming back on. And in the meantime, we're looking for the last $900,000 directly from the legislature to get up to that magic $4 million mark so we can keep those costs down to Unalaskans. But
gotcha.
I think we've got very strong support for that funding, because they know more about wastewater treatment in Unalaska than most Unalaskans know. So, you know, that was our goal for the last 2 years, and they get it. They understand, and they want to help.
And that's going to be pretty important, because as I understand, rates could be going up more than $60 to $80 a month for wastewater treatment.
They could be. It's, you know, everything that was wrapped up in the consent decree from EPA and DOJ, they stuck things in there that they think are important, you know, things that are interim fixes that we actually have to take apart and dismantle and get rid of when we do the final building in just 2 years, and, you know, for millions of dollars. And we really fought that, but they would not budge. So, you know, we have to take those costs in too. It's unfortunate, but as much help and support financially as we can get from the state and from the governor's office, that will keep that low. So we're really going to be working hard on that.
Right. And the city did score something of a victory recently with the consent decree, not as large of a fine as one might have anticipated.
Not at all. And the biggest plus, I think, is that we dodged that secondary treatment bullet that had absolutely no environmental reason to do it. It was just, well, this is what we say you're going to build, so you'll build it. And, you know, talk about raising the cost to flush your toilet by $60 to $80 from what you already pay now. It's added on to that. They were fine with people having to pay another $150 to $180 to flush their toilets, you know, just to build this plant. And we just absolutely dug our heels in. And I think they're really used to, you know, they're very intimidating. They're a very scary agency, and the people as well. They're very aggressive. They're not friendly whatsoever. They don't care about you and your community. They've got the law, and they're just going to do what they think the law says. And most communities, you know, it's just not worth the battle. And, you know, they go on their back and their paws go in the air. And we just dug our heels in and said, no, there's no rational, responsible reason for us to do this. So we want to come up with a rational, reasonable solution. And thankfully, the governor's office and DEC were, you know, strongly in our corner behind us. And I think that made, you know, big, that helped considerably.
So now you're going to the legislature to see if you can drum up some support there as well for our project.
Correct. We need to, the support that we need from the legislature is to make sure that that $3.1 million that the governor put in his budget does not come out so somebody else's pet project can go in. So we, you know, we really have to guard that because it does happen. And then, of course, coming up with the other $900,000. But we're also looking for, you know, we're getting in the queue basically for a couple years down the road for the fourth engine for the powerhouse. You know, when we built this powerhouse, we had a long discussion on council. Gosh, should we just build two bays for what we need now? Or, you know, this recommendation from our brand new city manager, who nobody really knew anything about by this time, said, no, you need to build four because you're going to grow. And we thought, no, we're not. We really haven't grown that much in all these years. And thank goodness we built the four, because now we need to add the fourth engine. And with Shell coming on board and some of our other business opportunities, and we're just going to need the power.
And so you're going to be seeking funding for that as well from the legislature?
We are. But, you know, basically this year we'll just be actually I'd be surprised if we get seed funding for it. I'd be absolutely delighted because it is an energy project and they are very, you know, they're very focused on energy projects for a particularly rural Alaska. So, you know, we fit in with that. But we just got to start getting the line because sometimes it can take years to get funding and we really want to get this rolling so we're not behind the eight ball on the power issue.
Right. And it would be great to switch over to some energy issues, but I just want to remind folks that they can call in with their questions at 581-2161. And so you just mentioned Shell Oil coming in, and I do understand that they have said they will be coming here this summer and that they are planning on bringing lots of people and lots of boats. Can you tell our audience a little bit more about what you know about that?
What we know very little. We are trying to know more. It's been a real interesting process trying to get information from an industry and a company who's felt very under the gun, and you know it's very hard to get information out of them because it might change in the next few days, the next couple of weeks, or the next month, depending on what happens in the courts, etc. So that we understand, but what we've been doing is talking with them as much as possible. Every time I go through Anchorage, I schedule a meeting with Shell, with Pete Slaby or Cam Tui, Karen Spring, to talk about the logistics. You know, tell us what you do know is going to happen in Unalaska so that we can prepare for it. Because the last thing we want is right in the middle of our, you know, bee fishing season to have this whole other industry come in and all of a sudden be in crisis mode because they don't quite know how things work or we didn't understand what their needs were. Local businesses, they've got to know because they can be supplied by local businesses, I'm convinced, out of Unalaska. If they just contact those businesses ahead of time, let them know what their needs are going to be and stay in contact with them. So that's what we've been really pushing.
And has Shell given you any estimates for how many people they think they're going to be bringing or what services they're going to need when they're here?
You know, it really fluctuates. What they don't want to do is overload the community during our busiest fishing season. They're actually trying to be, you know, a good partner with the community. They don't want to take every room in the hotel and then leave it, you know, you can't bring when you're bringing in your processors or your fishermen, et cetera. Now they've got nowhere to stay all of a sudden. Not only is there no seats available to fly in, but now you've got no hotel room. So they're trying to schedule bringing their folks up on chartered flights to meet the vessels when they actually get here. So they'd get the vessels here first and then charter the people in and put them right on the boats. They've talked about 22 support vessels for the two drill rigs. We don't know if all of them are going to be coming to Unalaska to the port for any solid amount of time before they go to Chukchi. Some will go straight up. Some will come to Unalaska. Some are going to, you know, they have different needs. Some boats are there for fueling. Some boats are there for supplying. Some vessels are there for just engineering and tech support. Some vessels are there just for cleanup and safety. So, you know, it's hard to say. I'm meeting with them again, not this Friday, but next Friday in Anchorage to, you know, further define what they're going to try and do here so that we can make it work. And not only for the city, but like I said, for the local businesses and for our dock operators, we want to make sure they've got every bit of information that we have. Because if the city knows what's going on, but nobody else does, you know, that was stupid.
Right.
That didn't
work. I'm sure lots of folks will be happy to hear that they won't be competing with Shell for seats on Penn Air flights on the way in here this summer. No more AC.
Knock on wood, you know, but no, they're anticipating chartering.
Okay. And I'm sure you've heard that Real Admiral Ostebo spoke in Nome recently and mentioned some concerns that the Coast Guard has over port security with protesters here this summer. Is the city doing anything to address protesters, and what are the plans for this summer?
You know, the city's not. The city's just public safety is just going to continue what they do. You know, their business is 24/7 safety, law enforcement, and making sure that things roll as smoothly as possible. And on Alaska, things under their purview, legal purview. But they are working. They are talking with the Coast Guard. They have met via the Coast Guard approached them to say, look, we're not exactly sure what's going to go on here this summer, if anything. But if it does, we're going to need your cooperation under some of these circumstances. We might need, you know, can you put 30 people in your jail? And, of course, the question to that is no, but we have some lovely bunkers out on the hill. You know, we don't know. So the Coast Guard is still, you know, their job is to make sure that commerce is free to move in and out of our port. And as Admiral Ostebo told me once, he said, look, it's not – our personal opinion. It doesn't matter what we think personally about drilling in the Arctic, if it's a good idea or a bad thing. Our job, it's legal. They've been told they can go. Our job is to ensure that not only are they allowed to do their jobs the best way they can, but for safety and for environmental protection. And the other part of that is that, you know, we need to be sure that if something's going to happen in your port, because you've been a target in the past, that your ability to function as a port is not impeded. So that's their primary focus. It's not to, they're not going after protesters. They just want people to be safe, and they want this port to be able to function through our fishing season.
Right. And Mayor, we just have a few more minutes here. Folks, again, you can call in at 581-2161. And I just wanted to wrap up a little bit with the future of Unalaska in the Arctic. Obviously, if Shell is successful in their exploratory drilling this summer, mm-hmm. there'll probably be interest from other oil companies. Mm-hmm. And I understand that Arctic shipping via the Northern Sea Route is increasing, and all of that traffic passes right by us here. I was wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about how Unalaska is visioning its future in the Arctic.
Sure. Well, in terms of the oil and gas exploration, we've talked ConocoPhillips and Stat Oil will be the next ones going up into the Chukchi and the Beaufort, and they will be utilizing our port and our community and our business community just like Shell does. And this summer, and quite frankly, I've just come to peace with the fact that it's just going to be a bit chaotic. This summer is going to be chaos. There are going to be things come up that we never anticipated, and people on the fly are just going to have to figure them out. And I'm fine with that. That's just the nature of the beast. As long as we've done as much as we can to plan for the things we do know are going to happen, I think we'll be okay. We're just going to need to take a few years and see, you know, how they operate, because we have no idea. We're a fishing community, and I have absolutely no idea as a city planner, as part of that team, what happens in a community when they become oil exploration, when they support that. What the funny thing is, this community for years, you have council members and mayors, you know, on the record stating when they're running for office or in a council meeting, we need to find another, you know, stream of revenue. We can't be a single source economy based on fishing in case something happens to fishing. Well, all of a sudden, here it is, and we've got no clue what to do with it. So we're going to need to do a lot of information gathering. I've talked with folks down in Louisiana around Port Fourchon. You know, what happened to you guys? What happens when oil comes in? What did you do with planning and zoning? What do we do with planning and zoning? You know, what traffic patterns? I mean, the schools, what happens? So we're going to have to figure that out.
And I understand you were sending folks down to Louisiana, maybe?
We've had an offer. We've talked about it. We haven't talked about it with the council yet publicly, but it seems like an intelligent thing to do is to go to some communities that went through this huge growth, like a 10-year spurt of exploration to production, and say, so how did this work for you? What would you do different? What were the short-term things that, you know, you didn't realize you needed to get on right away, and you mixed them up with longer term? Because you put 10 people in a room and ask them what the oil industry is going to do here in Unalaska and what we need to do to prepare for it, and you will get 10 different answers from 10 people who have zero background in the oil industry. That's just how it is. So we have had an offer from Harvey Gulf Marine to come down because, and I quote Corbiotin, he's the vice president.
Just let me, they're a contractor with Shell,
they
is that right?
They are a major contractor with Shell Oil, and they're huge in the oil subcontracting business down in Louisiana and the Gulf. And he's got that really thick accent, and he told me once, he said, honey, he said, you got no idea what is headed your way. And that, you know, that was 2 years ago. So we're definitely going to look at getting the best information that we can. In terms of shipping across the pole, you know, from all accounts, we're learning that's 10, 15 years away. We're still, you know, we look at conferences, they're still talking about opportunities. Once they start talking about strategies and actual operations, I think you'll see the city of Unalaska have, you know, a presence there gathering information to try and figure out, okay, what do we do with our port? What could happen?
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. Very much appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Learned a lot about Arctic drilling and what's going to be in store for this summer here in Unalaska.
Yeah, just fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but it's good. So thanks for having me.
All right, folks, and stay with us. Coming up next on The Exchange, Chef Rich Byte spills the beans about tacos. Stay with us.